Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here at CindySheehanSoapbox.com and Rational Radio 1360 AM in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for tuning in again today. I'm speaking to you today from Columbus, Ohio. I'm still out on my Myth America book tour. I was at the National Assembly Conference to End the Occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan in Pittsburgh this past weekend, and we really reconnected with a lot of peace groups and individuals who know that true change comes from a bottom-up revolution, not a trickle-down effect like crumbs dropping on us from the table of the robber class. And as always, we have a great show in store for you today. When we come back, we'll be talking to Nobel laureate Mairead Corrigan-McGuire about her work for peace and her recent arrest by the State of Israel. Stay tuned. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Cindy Sheehan's new booklet, Myth America, examines two distinct groups of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims, such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose their jobs and homes and become homeless. Myth America exposes America's robber class, which controls our government, and affirms that we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. To obtain a copy of Myth America and learn how we can take back our country, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Thank you for staying tuned. This is Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Our guest today is Mairead Corrigan-McGuire. She is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate along with Betty Williams. She was awarded the Peace Prize in 1977 for organizing Women for Peace. She also has a story of tragedy and triumph, and we want to talk to her about her adventure trying to deliver humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. Mairead, welcome to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We're very honored to have you on today.
Thank you very much, Cindy. I'm very honored to be speaking to you. I do admire all your great work that you have been doing.
Well, thank you. And, of course, your work for peace is ongoing, and you've been doing it since you also had a tragedy in your family. For my listeners who don't know about your family's tragedy, can you give us let my listeners know what propelled you into working for peace?
Well, in August 1976, we were on the brink of civil war here in Northern Ireland. Things were very bad. And one of my younger sisters, Anne, went walking with four of her children. And there was a clash between an active service unit of the Irish Republican Army and the British Army. The British Army shot one of the IRA men, young Danny Lennon, through the head, and his car raced up onto the footpath. It killed three of my sisters' young children, and she herself was dangerously ill. It was at this point that myself and Betty Williams and another young journalist, Kieran McCune, we came out saying, you know, all this violence has got to stop. Let's try another way. And that was really the beginning of the peace movement in August 1976.
Well, not only did your sister lose her children, but she tragically also committed suicide. Was that because of the pain over the loss?
Yes, it was, Cindy. My sister, Anne, was dangerously ill with that accident. She had brain bruising and extensive body injuries, and she never really recovered. So in January 1980, she did take her own life because she really died of a broken heart.
Did
and her
she...
children were killed.
Oh, of course. I understand that. Did she ever join you in your peace efforts, or was it just too much for her?
No, she was very supportive of the peace movement. She recovered enough to have two further children, and then that was with her three little children. She tried to rebuild her life, tried very hard. She did come to some of the peace rallies, and actually even after, when she first learned to walk, one of her first acts was to visit the mother of the young IRA man,
uh-huh.
Because she believed in reconciliation and working for peace.
Right.
So she was, in her own way, very, very supportive of the whole idea that peace was the only way in which we could move forward together, and that militarism, paramilitarism wouldn't solve our problems. So she was very, very supportive of the peace movement.
Well, I can only imagine that kind of pain. I mean, I've felt it myself when my son was killed in Iraq, of course, but to lose three young children at one time must have been, I can't imagine how anybody could deal with that. But that was something that was happening regularly in your country, wasn't it?
Yes, in Northern Ireland, when our most recent trouble started in 1969, every day there was people dying through paramilitary activities, military activities. We were just trapped in a cycle of violence. But I think when the peace people started in August 76, our message was that, yes, we have a lot of problems, but we can't solve them through dialogue, through negotiation, through beginning to deal with the root causes of violence together. And, you know, for us, that was the main message, that nonviolence does work. And in divided communities that are trapped in violence anywhere, that people have to talk to their enemies. They have to sit down and have to deal with the issues without killing each other. So in Northern Ireland today, we have come a long way. We're very grateful. We have a peace process, a power-sharing executive. While we've a lot further to go in building our society, we have come a long way. And I think our message to the world outside, to people no matter where they live, is that, you know, solve it through dialogue and through negotiation. And that's a particularly important message for the Middle East and also for the situation in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Iraq. These problems will only be solved through dialogue, through negotiation, not through militarism.
So, Mairead, before we get into what happened to you recently when you were trying to deliver humanitarian aid to Gaza, what are you working on right now for peace in your local community?
Well, in our local community, we do nonviolent training, and we try to encourage communities to work together. We still have a lot of problems, even though we have a devolved government in Northern Ireland and a power-sharing executive. We believe that people working at the communities themselves to try to create a culture of nonviolence, a culture of non-killing. We are campaigning with in our local government to have a ministry for peace and also for the Charter for a World Without Violence. This is Nobel laureate's charter setting out principles of nonviolence. Our approach is that from communities, they build peace, both at local communities, and they have changed policies at the top. And then across in the international community, we also have to build nonviolent, non-killing communities. We live, all of us, in cultures where violence is almost acceptable. Mm-hmm. But we adopt the slogan that violence is a preventable disease that we can create through education, non-violent, non-killing cultures.
Do you have a website that people can look at about that stuff?
Yes, we have. It's www.peacepeople.com. We're a small grassroots movement, but we have been going now for over 30 years. But in order to create a culture of non-violence and non-killing, we need to work at every level of society.
Oh, absolutely. I think it starts from the very beginning in families. And I know we taught, and I taught my son, to not use violence to solve problems. But then, you know, he joins the military, and he's taught that's what you do when there's a problem. You use violence. So I think we as women, we as mothers, you know, we as people who are devoted to peace all over the world need to start really locally at the grassroots level. And your work led to you receiving the Nobel Peace Prize along with Betty Williams in 1977. And I actually met Betty in Los Angeles a few years ago. She's quite a lady.
Well, when we received the Nobel Prize, it was quite a shock to us, but it was a great honor because it has enabled us to work both locally and internationally, supporting people and working together with them on issues of peace, nonviolence, and justice and human rights. So it was a bit scary at the time, but it was a great honor.
And you were the youngest person to ever be awarded the Peace Prize.
Yes, we were. And we were also amongst the first women. There are only 7 living women Nobel Peace Laureates. And there now is the Nobel Women's Initiative set up by Jody Williams, where the Nobel women work together on different issues, particularly relating to women's rights and human rights, and that is proving for us a good network of women, because we believe that women have a new agenda. When we talk about security, we talk about human security. We talk about the right for homes, health care, human dignity, and human rights. And we believe that the money should be taken out of militarism and put into meeting the basic human needs that every family has, and the needs of the human family, and stop wasting our money on nuclear weapons and war when we should be, as the human family, taking care of each other. So I think women bring a different agenda to the table, and I hope that by doing that they'll help change policies at the top.
Well, I agree with you, but it seems like, in my country at least, the women who rise to the top of the political ladder are ones who feel like they have to be very militaristic and really support a devastating foreign policy, which is very unfortunate.
Well, I think that it is true that in some cases women do, unfortunately, just carry out the same kind of agenda that that has been used by male approach. But I think that more and more we're becoming more conscious as a human family that the real enemies are environmental disaster, poverty, diseases, that, you know, we need to tackle these tremendous threats to humanity, and they are real enemies. And we can't tackle these problems through nuclear weapons, through wars, because they create more and more problems. So we're challenged now to use our imagination, our creativity, and to think of alternative ways of solving these problems. And there are always alternatives to violence. And to me, that is what is exciting. We see many different organizations and movements that are using peer mediation, conflict resolution, alternative ways of solving the problems that are working. And, you know, nonviolence is a political movement that does work, and the more that we can prove that there are alternatives to violence, the more people will move to using those alternatives.
Well, and it's really unfortunate that the biggest organizations in our world that can use the most violence are our states, and it seems like that's one of the first things that our states resort to, not one of the last things. And you said you've been working in your country to develop a ministry of peace. Do you work with or do you network with Dennis Kucinich here in the United States, who's also working on, a Department of Peace?
Yes, and I think we do take our inspiration from people like Dennis Kucinich and the movement that is growing now around the world for ministries. When you think of it, really, we have ministries of defense, and we have ministries of foreign affairs, but we don't have ministries of peace. We don't have departments that look at how we solve problems without going to war, which no longer work. So trying to set up ministries of peace that are taken very seriously together with ministries of foreign affairs so that countries use a positive and more civilized approach to solving the problems is just one of the ideas that many people are working on. But, you know, we really, when we talk about democracy, Cindy, we are all challenged to rethink democracy. The thing is, at the moment, we give our power as citizens to governments, and all governments are based on threat or use of force,
right,
and militaries, and inevitably, if you prepare for war, you go to war. I think we really have to begin to say to our governments, solve the problems without going to war, without killing. After all, we are the human family, we're interconnected, and we should be more civilized in our approaches in dealing with conflict. And it's just a new approach. But it's a way, if we are to have a future at all, we really have to change our thinking and demilitarize our own mindsets in order to build non-killing, non-violent societies.
Well, you know, absolutely. Of course, I totally agree with you. And that's part of my new book that I've written, Myth America. But we're going to have to take a short break. And I also agree with Mairead about the State Department, Defense Department, Peace Department whole paradigm. Our State Department is supposed to be the entity that keeps us out of wars. But under the Bush administration and under now the Obama administration, it seems like they almost partner with the War Department to keep us into wars. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Mairead McGuire in this interesting conversation. This is Cindy Sheehan. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Cindy Sheehan's new booklet, Myth America, examines two distinct groups of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims, such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet. Those who send their children off to die in robber class wars. Those who lack proper health care. Those who are denied decent education. And those who lose their jobs and homes and become homeless. Myth America exposes America's robber class, which controls our government, and affirms that we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. To obtain a copy of Myth America and learn how we can take back our country, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox here at CindySheehansSoapbox.com and 1360 AM Rational Radio in Dallas, Texas. So, May Reed, you had quite an adventure a few weeks back, didn't you?
Yes, indeed, Cindy. I joined the Free Gaza Movement to sail from Larnaca and Cyprus to try to break the siege of Gaza. But when we sailed, we were threatened by the Israeli Navy in international waters. It was very dangerous because during the night the Israeli Navy cut off all our communications when we were at sea. The next day they threatened to shoot if our boat continued to Gaza. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we were boarded by Israeli naval forces and forcefully taken at gunpoint to an Israeli port where we were arrested and imprisoned. And this was all because 21 human rights activists, we wanted to take paper, crayons, toys, medicine, symbolic little bags of cement and tools into Gaza, all of these items being forbidden by the Israeli government into Gaza. So it was terrible because we didn't get to Gaza and people in Gaza were hoping that we would get in.
You've been to Israel before. I was reading in your bio that you were shot in Israel with a rubber bullet.
Yes, I'm very interested in Israel and Palestinian conflict coming out of Northern Ireland, I suppose, and our own conflict here.
Right.
But I started 10 years ago at the invitation of the rabbis for human rights and against the demolition of Palestinian homes. They invited me to Jerusalem to see the situation on the ground, and I was so shocked by what I witnessed happening to Palestinians there that I have continued going in every year now to Israel and to Palestine. I go to the occupied territories in Palestine to support the nonviolent movement, and 2 years ago when we walked up to the apartheid wall to protest the annexation of Palestinian land by the Israelis illegally, I was hit with a plastic bullet in the hip and gassed together with many other unarmed human rights activists.
Mairead, as somebody who works in that issue so profoundly and as a Nobel laureate, what would you think would be a fair solution to the Israeli-Palestinian violence and to the problems there in that country?
Well, first of all, I think it's very important that people recognize that it is the root cause of what is happening here is an occupation. Israel occupies Palestine, the West Bank, and Gaza. And until the occupation is ended, until Israel seriously stops building the apartheid wall, the illegal settlements which Israel is continuing to build, demolishing hundreds of thousands of Palestinian homes, there really can't be a solution. Whenever Gaza itself, now a part of the Palestine, it has been under siege for 2.5 years now. It's totally cut off by Israel. Israel bombed its airport. It closed the Gaza port over 40 years ago, and it has closed all its borders. So you have here a siege by Israel against Palestinian people, which is collective punishment of the whole people of the Gaza Strip, which is against international laws and is a crime against humanity. So until Israel upholds international law and human rights for the people of Palestine, there can't be a genuine solution. When I was in Gaza, I met also with Hamas. And also, too, it's very important that Hamas stop any kind of violence against the Israelis. So the whole situation can be helped by the international community. President Obama gave a very good speech in Egypt, but he has not come up with any concrete proposals. And, you know, the American taxpayer funds $10 million a day to Israel, which pays for the occupation of Palestine. And if Obama said to Israelis he's going to cut that funding until they uphold international law and human rights, then that would really make a big difference and bring all parties to the table to solve what is a political problem with a political solution.
Well, we have an unfortunate situation in America where it seems like our corporate media and our institutions like to tell us, repeat propaganda about Israel. And so in order for us to, for Obama to quit funding Israel, I think we would need a mass movement here in the United States, but we're so lied to about by our government and by the media about Israel that it's really hard. Now, as a peace advocate, I don't pay my taxes because I don't want any part of any of my money going to funding things like the occupation of Palestine or the occupation of Iraq or now, further escalating Afghanistan and Pakistan. But there's so many obstacles in our country to true peace that that's something I really work hard in myself to overcome those obstacles. But again, we're in complete agreement, Mairead. But when you were being arrested by the Israeli government, I understand that it was really precarious situation because you were being taken off of the boat and put onto another boat.
Yes, it was highly dangerous what happened to us and totally illegal when the Israeli Navy came and arrested us and took our boat to a different port. I mean, our lives were really put at risk. We have been deported from Israel now for 10 years. I feel very sad about that, but it does give me an insight into what Palestinians are suffering. Out of 10 million Palestinians in the world, 6 million of them are refugees around the world and cannot go back to their country. Another interesting statistic I think that people don't really know, the Christian population of Israel-Palestine has gone down from 25% to 2%. There's only 2% Christians left now in the Holy Land, because Christians are living together in little villages with Muslims, and they are under occupation by the Israeli military as well, living in an apartheid racist system. So we have occupied Bethlehem, occupied Nazareth. All the holy cities are now occupied by Israeli military. So it's very important that we recognize that this form of collective punishment of the Palestinian people is a policy by the Israeli government, which is causing so much suffering and so much pain. And American government, the UN, and Europe have all been colluding with the Israeli government in that there's tremendous silence about what is happening to the Palestinian people. And I think the American mainstream press bears a tremendous amount of responsibility for not telling the truth to the American people of what is happening in the occupied territories of Palestine today. Because if we don't tell the truth, then we're not going to solve this for the sake of peace for Israelis and Palestinians in the Middle East.
Well, of course. And, of course, we're calling for peace for Israelis also and not just Palestinians. But it seems like the Israeli government are the oppressors here and the Palestinian people are the oppressed, not the other way around. And so how long were you in Israeli jail before they finally released you? And another thing I want to say is that I didn't see anything about your arrest and Cynthia McKinney's arrest. And Cynthia, as...
Well, I think this is really tragic, Cindy, because 21 of us who were human rights activists went from Cyprus to sail to Gaza in order to bring basic things to the people of Gaza, who, I mean, are really, really suffering. I was in Gaza last October, and I was shocked at the amount of tremendous suffering for the people. They didn't have basic medicines, foods, no materials to rebuild their infrastructure. On the December-January, Israel launched a savage, brutal attack.
Right.
Killing 1,300 Palestinians from the air, destroying their temples, their synagogues, their universities, destroying their mosques, their universities. And, I mean, this was a crime against humanity, and yet the international community said nothing. And to me, that is our great shame, that we remain silent in the midst of one of the greatest tragedies in the world today.
Well, what you all did was very, very courageous. And I just, you know, I'm very relieved that you're okay. But what I really was impressed with by the Free Gaza movement is that they would say, this is awful what's happening to us, but we have to turn the spotlight where it really needs to be shown, and that is on the Palestinian people. That is on the people of Gaza. And I noticed you just did that when I asked you how long you've been in prison.
Well, it is the people of Gaza, Cindy, and the people of Palestine who since 1948 have been living under a brutal occupation by the Israeli government. And this is a political problem. There's a political solution. If all parties to the conflict sit down around the table, encouraged and supported by the American administration and the UN and their other friends, there is a solution to this. And we in Northern Ireland, when we started our peace movement, we said there is a solution, and indeed it was found through dialogue, through negotiation. I passionately believe there's a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but they need their friends in America and around the world to help them find their way through this.
Oh, absolutely. Have all 21 of the detainees been released?
Yes, indeed. Everyone now is all home, and the Free Gaza movement, because we never got their boat back, are raising some funds in order to buy a couple of boats to sail from the Free Gaza boats into Gaza again. Why do we want to go to Gaza? Because the people of Gaza, 1.5 million, mostly under the age of 18, are afraid that the world will forget about them and they will become irrelevant. We must stand up and say, no person in our world is irrelevant, and we do care for their human rights, for their freedom, and we will raise our voices and work for that.
And I am also working to try and help raise some money to buy the boats and to buy fuel and to buy supplies. And I'm hoping that the next trip will work out for me.
That is wonderful. And I would like Cindy to say they are looking forward to you going to Gaza, and also to extend my thanks to everybody for all the support, because people can do something. You can boycott and support the boycott, divestment, sanctions against Israel. You can encourage your government not to fund the military occupation of Palestine. In Europe, the Europeans can refuse to give special trading status to Israel until Israel upholds UN laws and gives rights to the Palestinian people. That's all the Palestinian people are asking for.
Well, you know, amen to that. And again, we're just very honored to talk to you today at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. And hopefully, are you going to be able to go on a boat again since you've been banned for 10 years?
Well, I can't, with the ban, I can't go into Israel for 10 years, which I'm sorry about. I have a lot of good friends in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But I can go in on the Free Gaza boat, and I would like to do that in the future.
Well, hopefully we'll be on the next trip together, and I just think what you're doing is very courageous and very important. And if people want to donate to Free Gaza Movement, they can go to freegaza.org. And we just have to keep working until
thank you very much.
Until we have
Cindy,
peace,
thank you
right,
for
Marie?
All you're doing to build a world without war. We really can, as a human family, solve our problems without violence.
Well, we're here in solidarity, sister, and we keep on doing what we can do. Again, thank you. I know it's late in Ireland, so I'll let you go, and hopefully we can speak again soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And love to everybody.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Marae, can I tell you one more thing?
Yes.
I promised one of my friends who's from Belfast he works with me doing videos and stuff for me. He wanted to pass on his deep, well, he wanted me to pass on his deep love and respect for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk
bye-bye.
To you soon. This is Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan. That was Nobel laureate Marae McGuire, and we'll be right back with my soapbox rant.
Cindy Sheehan's new booklet, Myth America, examines two distinct groups of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims, such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose their jobs and homes and become homeless. Myth America exposes America's robber class, which controls our government, and affirms that we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. To obtain a copy of Myth America and learn how we can take back our country, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing? In a land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago for the help that we can bring? We can change the world.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here at CindySheehanSoapbox.com and 1360 AM Rational Radio in Dallas, Texas. As I speak today, four Marines were killed in the so-called Good War in Afghanistan, which breaks my heart. However, President Obama is just doing what he promised. He promised to surge the troops in Afghanistan, and he promised to bomb innocent people in Pakistan, and now he's only fulfilling his campaign promises. What really irritates the hell out of me is that many so-called anti-war groups in the United States endorsed and worked for Obama, even though his foreign policy aims were exactly like McCain's. Environmental groups endorsed Obama, even though he's blowing off the tops of mountains as an advocate for clean coal. And even though he's deep in the pockets of the nuclear industry, I'm seeing people who were against the illegal and immoral occupations under George Bush all of a sudden reverse their beliefs and start claiming the rhetoric of the so-called right as their own. I've had more than one person on my tour say to me that we have to be in Afghanistan to, quote, protect the women, end quote. These people can't resolve their support for who is, in my opinion, a war criminal and the actions Obama is taking, so they lash out at me for stating facts, which was also uncomfortable for the right when I was doing it when George Bush was president. Former First Lady Laura Bush is fond of saying that we have to stay in Afghanistan to protect the women. And I asked the new occupation evangelicals if sending the U.S. Army into any country to protect women, especially when we are bombing the crap out of them and killing them and their children, is a good use of our military. Shouldn't we then be in Saudi Arabia, the Congo, or a myriad of other places where women and children are working as near slaves for U.S. corporations? Integrity is something that is almost impossible to retrieve after you have voluntarily given it up. I've lost a lot of friends or strained relationships over my opposition to U.S. policy in the Middle East, both Republican and Democrat friends. But I would rather stand firm for peace than cave in to the first snake oil salesman who comes along selling us the same old lousy product in a new bottle. Your Ask Cindy and your soapbox assignment are the same thing today. We're going to talk about the G20 summit that's happening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The 20 largest economies of the world will be gathering in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for the G20 summit from September 24th to 26th. The G20 summit is being held in the U.S. because Obama and his band of economic goons are confident that the complacent and starry-eyed citizens of the U.S. won't protest like citizens of other countries would if the G20 were being held elsewhere. We must get out on the streets of Pittsburgh those days and show not only the world, but the Obama administration that we oppose the global stain of corporatism and international banking cartels that are impoverishing and devastating the planet. Go to bailoutpeople.org for more information. I'll be there, and I will hopefully be bringing a bus filled with homeless, jobless, and other disenfranchised people from San Francisco. Again, go to bailoutpeople.org for more information. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my assistant producer, Mike Kim, my guest, May Reed Corrigan McGuire, and as always, you for listening. Tune in next week when we'll be chatting with author Gore Vidal.
I must make my witness. Have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.